Steiner School students in Motueka will have a nature-based learning environment once their new farm campus is complete. Cosmo Kentish Barnes is on site with outdoor educator Lindsay Ellison and Peter Garlick, who's been working on the construction project since its inception.
My job has been to help the school develop and to move from its current premises to buying land and to build a new school on a farm with a whole new emphasis on being more outdoors and farm orientated.
How much land have you got here?
13.6 hectares, just on the edge of Motueka.
And we can see a digger up there on the hill doing some work. It's not quite finished yet, is it?
No, there's still a lot happening, but the official opening's 1st of May, so it's not far away.
What is the background behind this huge project, and how long has it taken to get to this point?
I guess our school started in 1984 as a kindergarten, and then in 2002 they added a primary school. And it was back about 10 years ago that the community got together. We were in a rented building where we are currently, and realising that the rented building in town wasn't really what the community wanted. They wanted space, they wanted a farm, lots of nature. And so the community just at a meeting decided that's what they wanted. And we set a vision, and we all were it was a very, very exciting meeting because everyone was just allowed to sit around and imagine this fantastic school. And we drew pictures and wrote little documents. And then came the reality is, well, how on earth do you do that? You know, where do you get millions of dollars and a big piece of land and build a school? And, you know, we were a private school, small community, you know, and there certainly wasn't a lot of money. But over the years, we've just kept focused on that goal, and eventually we raised enough money to buy this farm. And we were very lucky. We purchased the land at a time before land prices got too crazy. So we got the farm for a good price. And then the next key to development was becoming a state integrated school. So as of last year, we were accepted to be state integrated. And then that's allowed us to, we've been fundraising, of course, and that allowed us to then borrow some money. The banks got more interested in us, and that got us enough money to build the new school.
So how much is it costing all up?
At the end of the stage one, we'll be about $3 million in. And just about half of that has been raised from our own community through donations and fundraising. And then there's another about $500,000 of loans that have come from supporters, and then about $1 million from the bank.
That shows how passionate a lot of people are about this school farm.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of supporters and parents and ex-parents that have really worked very hard for many years to make this happen.
Now, tell me about the land. We are standing on the flat part down by the creek, but I guess a lot of the land goes beyond the hill where the digger is.
Yeah, so most of the farm is what you say rolling hill country. Just this about 1 hectare down here of flat ground, which obviously is where the sports field had to go and the car park. But the school is mainly up on the first rise. And then behind that, there's sort of a gully, about a 1 hectare gully, which has been now fully fenced. And we're halfway through replanting it, a big riparian planting project. And that planting's been going on for 5 years now.
And I guess this used to be a sheep and beef farm.
Sheep and apples. So this half of the farm has always just been grazing. And the other half of the farm was mostly in apples.
Are there any apple trees still left?
Not many, but there's just over a hectare of pears. And so we have been running a pear orchard, but that's coming to an end now. We got hit by the big hailstorms on Boxing Day, so the fruit was all damaged. So we're going to give up on that.
How tragic that you lost all the fruit.
Yeah, well, it's the second time it's happened in 5 years. So, it's a bit of a hard one being an orchardist.
Well, I guess it's also important for the students to know that nature does throw these curveballs at us every now and then.
Exactly, yeah. And it's great that the students will get to spend lots of time outdoors. And, you know, and realise sometimes things are tough and there are disappointments and setbacks. And what they need to see is that the parents just sort of stand strong and they move forward and deal with whatever comes at you. It's a good lesson.
In front of us is a building that's finished and there are kids in there already.
Yeah, so that's our first classroom that we finished last year. So that's been in use for term one. So that's probably our new entrance. Children are in there, hence the bigger fence. And then five more classrooms up on top of the hill.
Lindsay, you are also part of the Steiner School Farm. What's your role here?
I came here and set up a farm-to-table programme. So my passion is to connect the children with food and where the food is from and anything nature-based. So what we did here was we built an outdoor kitchen. I was lucky enough to get given some funding for the programme. And I got some very passionate parents together one weekend, and they put together an outdoor kitchen for me. So since then, the children have been biking out here from school every week. They come to the kitchen, we go and harvest up in the garden and the orchard. And then a group of nine of them come here and they make a meal for all their friends, for 30 odd people. And they're incredible cooks. They make a three-course meal. I don't have to do anything. I just tell them what they're making, and they're all completely competent in this space. So it's been really amazing to watch that happen and watch them as well. Now they play around with flavours themselves. They see what's in the garden and they make suggestions. So that's really nice to see that happening with them naturally.
So there's a really nice area there for them to prepare the food. There's a sink. There are tables. Everything a budding chef needs.
Yeah, and actually it was inspired by the children, because this lean-to was here when I came to the school, and we used to come out here with a class to do various things on the farm. We built the pizza oven, and we used to just set up in this space and just cook really basically. And then one day one of the kids was like, we need a kitchen here. We should start really just cooking here all the time. And from that seed, yeah, this kitchen was born. And they really like the outdoors. There's definitely would be a benefit to put a wall in, because sometimes we're fighting with the wind. Yeah. But I think that they really enjoy this, the feeling of being completely outside. And yeah.
So the food that they prepare and cook here comes off the land?
A lot of it does, yeah. Obviously, they've got to go and buy rice, or if we need flour. But generally, I come up in the garden at the weekend and see what we've got. And I get a harvest list for them, and they're literally picking it and eating it 2 hours later. And the good thing is they eat everything. Mm. If they grow it, they'll eat it. It's really that simple.
And you are also heavily involved with the development of the land, aren't you?
Yeah, my drive is how to integrate the children and the curriculum with what's happening on the wider farm. So that's definitely something that we're always looking into. And once we've got a working farm, I'll be working with whoever is running that and making sure that through every stage of the curriculum, the children are involved. So class one will have a particular job and they work their way up, and then and they look up to the senior students that have got their jobs. And that'll be woven into the Steiner curriculum.
Yes. Why do you think it's so important for the students to learn these outdoor skills?
Well, fundamentally it's life skills, which they have to have, but the work that goes on under the surface of that is really, really powerful. Once you get children working with their hands, they just open up their minds. So it's a really good space to have bigger conversations. Obviously, the environmental side of that is huge, to teach them where their food comes from and the health benefits if they just pick something and eat it, versus it going off to a cold storage and then driving to a shop and then it sits in the fridge. So that's really important. And for me, this is the part of environmental awareness that I feel really passionate about, because if we look after the soil, then, everything else falls into place. And this is a way that I can do it without being an environmental activist saying we need to fix climate change. Actually, if we just teach the kids to grow food, it's a massive tick.
Well, let's head up the hill to see the new classrooms and the land you've set aside for farming. We have come halfway up the hill and we are overlooking the classrooms here on the farm. And Peter, can you explain a bit about the construction of these buildings?
Yeah, well, our challenge was to be as eco-friendly as we could within a very tight budget. And many of the features that we would like were sort of on the more expensive end. But one thing we did do is we made each classroom a standalone building. And the reason for that was that we could get natural light in from three directions. So they're really placed so that they'll get first sun, first thing in the morning, all day sun into every classroom. And that therefore will improve the heating and the light in the buildings. We put them onto insulated concrete pads to try and also regulate the temperature, and but we also were putting in fireplaces in the classrooms. So each classroom will have a fire.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Cozy.
Lovely. And the current school does, and the teachers and the students really like the fact that in the morning they come, they light the fire. Well, of course, now we're on a farm, we've got access to a lot more of our own wood. So essentially it's carbon neutral heating by just coppicing trees on the farm and providing our own firewood.
And the view from the classrooms is quite spectacular. We can see all the kiwi fruit and apple orchards across the plains.
Yeah, and then in the far distance, that's Kahurangi National Park and Mount Arthur in the distance.
We're just about at the top of the hill, and this is where you've got a rather gorgeous garden, Lindsay.
Yeah.
What are you growing here?
At the moment, lots of calendula, sunflowers, herbs. We've got courgette. We've just harvested all the corn in the last session. The children, when they come up here, the first thing that they do is they go and harvest something to eat, and then I can talk to them about what we're going to be doing. I've just recently started bringing up the students from class one, because now they're here on site, and it's really nice to just wander through here and graze and talk about what's happening in the garden. We've got lots of delicious peaches at the moment, and pears and apples. Yeah, it's a real treat to come in here with them.
The students must make a beeline for the orchard.
They do, but they're really respectful, and they know what, they always ask if they're allowed to harvest, and they know how to harvest.
So have the students planted all the plants that are growing here?
Yep, all the students have planted. I've just actually seen, I asked them to put in this new pathway in the last class, and they've done that, so that's really nice to see. And about 4 years ago, actually, my son's class came up here and they dug this first little herb garden in the middle. We came up here and there was just grass, and we had scythes, and they were the pioneers, and that was really nice. And same herbs are still growing, so that's great. That those herbs actually bring lots of bumblebees in summer, which is quite nice because you don't always see lots of bumblebees anymore. And we recently put up this beautiful shade, so we get to sit down under there. We've got benches that the children made.
So they get to do a bit of carpentry as well.
Yes, they do. And over here, they've just actually been helping to build. We've got a shade house, we've got a tool shed happening, and we're about to put up a tunnel house. So they've been involved in that project as well.
And we can see the farmland on the other side of the vegetable garden.
We were grazing sheep there, and unfortunately the person who had the sheep moved the flock away. So just as the spring growth happened, we lost our flock of sheep. So we're down to 5 at the moment. We probably need about 30. Yeah. But anyway, we're just negotiating with someone else to bring some stock in. So at the moment we've got a lot of long grass. In places we've just mowed the grass and let it, just dropped it where it is, which is good for the soil, keeps a cover on the soil and gets some of that grass and carbon back in.
It's like a blank canvas for you, Lindsay.
It's really exciting. Yeah, I'd like to take you down. We're just in the throes of starting up an outdoor classroom, and we're going to be working in there on Monday for the first time, and it'd be cool to walk down there and show you.
Let's have a look.
So this is a gully that's going back all into native. So as you can see at the moment, the trees are all about just under a metre high. Some of them are getting up to now 2 or 3 metres. Mm. But you can quite easily see that in 10, 20 years' time, there'll be quite a forest here right at the back of the school. So the students will have a forested area to play in. But anyway, we're at the planting stage at the moment.
And the senior students that come out every week, they've been spending an hour in here, and they're just releasing the natives and learning how to look after them properly and mulch them and water them. So that's really nice for them to be part of that process. All the work that they have to do here isn't always glamorous, but it's good to teach them that sometimes you've just got to roll up your sleeves and get stuck in.
Do you ever struggle to get the students to do some of those harder tasks?
I think sometimes by the time you get to class 7 and you're working with 12 and 13 year olds, sometimes you get a few reluctant ones on the edges, but actually that's when they really need to, at that age is when they really need to dig in and do some work. So with a little bit of encouragement, they get stuck in, and then they always really enthusiastically speak about what they've been doing.
And a lot of the times when they're out here doing things, there's a lot of maths and English and other things going on at the same time. And it's quite amazing how the teachers have woven their classroom material into the activities that they do outside. And so sometimes it's reinforcing it, just, you know, coming at numbers from a different angle, whether it be, you know, counting out seeds and all those sorts of things.
Linking all those different topics together.
Yeah, exactly. And often, you know, academic-y type subjects which you translate into something you're doing with your hands, you know, with your hands in the dirt, but you can still be doing numbers and learning the names of things and how to spell things.
Well, this track is going to take us up to where we're going to be doing some outdoor classroom work with the students. So that'll be a place where work like whittling, weaving, carving, clay work, sitting around the fire, learning about fire skills, that's all going to happen up in this space, so it's really exciting.
I'm under the shelter belt now, oh, it's nice and cool here.
So it's a little bit like they're going to be walking into this magic space.
And you've got, what, 12 logs ready for the students to sit on in a circle, and there'll be a nice fire in the middle.
That's right, yeah, perfect. What else do you need?
This area here is at the bottom of one of your larger paddocks. What is going to happen to this land?
Yeah, so at the moment we're working on a proposal to put in quite a big market garden. We're quite lucky. We've got a lake and a dam on the farm, so we'll be able to get a market garden growing here. We've got plenty of water. And then the idea is that will be then sold through a box scheme. I mean, we've got 100 students. It means we've got at least 50 families. So you've got a ready-made market for that. And hopefully then we can just expand that beyond our own community within a couple of years.
Do you have your own tractor and other farm machinery?
No, we don't. And that's, again, all part of this next stage is setting up the farm. And lots of things depend on what funding we can access and who we get in to be our key farmer, if they come with equipment or not.
Yes. So would you like to have a farmer that actually gets involved in the everyday learning, as well as helping out with ploughing or cutting the grass?
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, the whole farm is owned by a charitable trust. That charitable trust's primary activity is education. And so the farm is sort of a pedagogical farm. You know, we want to produce food, lovely, you know, nutrient-dense organic food, but we definitely want the students to be able to come and be involved as well. So it's going to be an interesting commercial enterprise that's going to be, it obviously has to pay its way and produce food, but we want to be able to involve the students. So in some ways the students will have their own garden, which Lindsay was just showing you, but they'll also be able to come over here and see something at a much larger scale, you know, with cows and machinery.
So will the students be involved in milking and feeding the animals?
Well, yep, you're talking into the vision realm at the moment, but that's the way we're heading.
Yes, definitely. Definitely it will be woven into the curriculum, which will be appropriate for their age and stage. So, yeah, they'll be tending chickens and milking cows and making cheese and just anything that goes hand-in-hand with working on a biodynamic farm.
So in terms of the curriculum, how long each week would they spend outside learning on the land?
At the moment, the students that come out to the farm spend a whole day here, and the younger classes, they do a farm-to-table program, which is about an hour and a half a week. But outside of that, the class teachers are doing lots of work outside, and they'll be able to do much more when they come here full-time.
And I think we're also quite lucky, you know, we're here in the Nelson-Tasman area. You know, we get a lot of lovely sunny weather, and our winters are not very cold, they're quite mild. So, you know, we'll be outside all year round.
Yes. Now, just backtracking a bit, can you just give me a brief overview of the whole Rudolf Steiner philosophy in terms of, you know, education?
There's an enormous amount of thinking and philosophy behind the Rudolf Steiner approach. And, of course, it's education, but it's also farming and other areas as well. So there's definitely some strong themes, one of them being that care for people and care for the land. And so, you know, in some ways, Rudolf Steiner and biodynamics was the start of the modern organic farming movement. And I think the other theme that comes through in the education is it's quite a gentle approach to education, and it's very hands-on. It's focuses also on developing, you know, head, heart and hands, so we have quite a holistic view.
And you've dedicated a nice big area of the flat for sport, for sporting activities.
That's right, exactly. You know, lots of physical activity, lots of running around. And our students are involved with the, you know, all the various competitions with the other schools, which is great. It means that, you know, they do get to interact with the students all around this district. And then on the flip side of that is that once this farm is a little bit further on, we're hoping to invite all those students from the other schools to come and do activities here, because we'll have something quite unique which they won't have. You know, most schools now do have a garden to table or, you know, some sort of gardening program. Mm. But, you know, we're on 13 hectares and we can have animals. And so I think it'll be quite neat for those students to come and see at a bigger scale and to maybe have a day out here and participate.
Peter Garlick, ending that story from Motueka Steiner School's new farm campus. Cosmo was also talking to the school's farm-to-table coordinator, Lindsay Ellison.